from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
The Blazers are making a move and adding a wing. And let's go to D.C. to find out more potentially about that player. Denny Avdija was added via the Washington Wizards. Chase Hughes joins us now at Chase D.C. Sports on Twitter. Part of the Wizards broadcasting crew, covers the NBA draft as well. Chase, thanks for the time out here in Portland, man. I got to be honest with you. Now, I threw up a poll question on our show Twitter account because we haven't watched a lot of Washington's Wizards basketball the last couple of years. And so I hear this name and I'm like, the Blazers have added a wing. I've never heard of this guy before. And then you start looking in, okay, he's lottery pick, had a really good year last year. What do we know about Denny Avdija and where did things turn for him? Because he's been in the league for 4 years, but clearly a much different player last year for the Wizards than he was in the first three.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. So it all began back in 2020. Denny Avdija was a really highly rated prospect in that draft. Coming out of Israel, he played in the EuroLeague for Maccabi Tel Aviv. And, you know, some of the mock drafts had him in the mix to be the second or third overall pick. The Warriors had the second pick, ended up going with James Wiseman, but they reportedly really, really liked him. So he had this sort of unexpected fall on draft night. And the Wizards actually tried to trade up to get him. They tried to trade up to number four with the Chicago Bulls and weren't able to and were really surprised that he fell to them at number nine. And he came in and right away won the starting job as their small forward and battled some inconsistency over the first 3 years of his career. Wasn't a great outside shooter. Really kind of found his way first on the defensive end. But this past year, right after signing a contract extension, took a huge step forward. I think it was, you know, I've watched the Wizards and I've covered them for a really long time. I think it's the biggest step forward a young player has made on their team in maybe a decade, probably going back to like when Bradley Beal was early in his career. So Wizards fans and the Wizards were really pleased with his development. He signed the deal. It was starting to look like a bargain. But I think the Wizards, are trying to get even younger and really take the long view with this rebuild. So they felt like they could part with him for the draft picks.
The funny part about what you just said, Chase, is I follow somebody that does a Warriors-related pod, and he's a pretty honest person when it comes to Warrior talk, and he saw this, and he quote-tweeted and said, "That's it. Damn." I think they also regret taking James Wiseman and not maybe tapping into this. It's interesting. We got a mixed reaction, it feels like, at times here. Now, social media is probably not a good snapshot of how everybody feels. I'm curious, how have Wizards fans been handling all of this? Obviously, they're going a different direction, as you mentioned, with the youth. But he had just kind of maybe tapped into what he is as a player. How have you seen Wizards fans handle this?
Yeah, he's been a fan favorite, I would say, from the very beginning. You know, he's got a huge following that comes from Israel, but also just people around the globe of Jewish faith. And he really, takes pride in representing a lot of people that is just bigger than basketball. And he's also just a very likable guy. So I think fans, really appreciated how nice of a person he is and how down to earth he is. And, you know, just watching the progression and having seen so many young players come through Washington, a lot of them not reach their potential, and to see a guy starting to put the pieces together, begin as a versatile defensive wing, and then start to unlock the you know, the ball handling and the passing skills that he showed as a draft prospect and become a good outside shooter and become, you know, a two-way wing at 6'9", which is a pretty valuable player. So I think fans were sad to kind of see the news at first, but, you know, the Wizards ended up having a good night last night that I think a lot of fans really appreciate them drafting Bob Carrington with the 14th overall pick and just getting three first-round picks in this draft, given where the Wizards are in their rebuild. And knowing the sort of unpredictability of this draft, taking three bites at the apple increases your odds of getting a good player. So I think it's like kind of your head versus your heart. A lot of fans are sad to see Denny Avdija get traded, but they understand that there is some reasoning behind it.
Interesting. We're talking with Chase Hughes out in D.C. covering the Wizards at Chase D.C. Sports on Twitter. You mentioned him finding his groove on the defensive end and then the offense kind of following. Last year, just a massive jump in three-point shooting. I mean, 29% the year before, up to almost 38%. I mean, that is a big-time jump. He's a career about 32% three-point shooter. What do we make of his game and being able to stretch the floor? Is this just the beginning? Was that an outlier? How do we feel about his ability to shoot the basketball?
I think it was a breakthrough. You know, he's a really honest person and kind of wears his emotions on his sleeve, not only during games, but in press conferences, and he's kind of an open book. And, you know, he's talked to us about how frustrated he was not having that breakthrough as a shooter through the first 3 years of his career, because you hear from coaches and teammates that, you know, he's the type of guy who will be in the gym late at night. I mean, he puts in extra time, probably as much as any player on the team, and it just hadn't really broken through for him in the first 3 years. But finally this year, the shot started to fall, and you know, he has made some adjustments to his mechanics over the years. He had kind of a slow release when he first got into the league. He shortened that a little bit. And I think it's a matter of also just confidence coming from the work that he's put in. And he's become a good shooter. Now, he's at his best, I would say, in transition because it's 6'9". He's really fast for his size. And this past year, a big part of his development was just realizing that he's got a physical advantage over a lot of opposing players, especially when he's on the move. So, you know, he kind of learned how to play bully ball in transition where a guy's standing in the way in the lane and he just goes right through him. So that combination, the ability to handle the ball with speed, shoot from the outside, and finish through contact at the rim has made him a very dangerous offensive player.
Mm. Chase, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, buddy, but you're in D.C. and all the way out here in Portland, you're making me feel things that I can't describe over the airwaves with his game right now.
We've been built around small guards. Somebody being physically dominant is not something we're used to.
let me ask you this. I always want to play fair and try to kind of both sides it a little bit for the crowd that's still a little maybe questioning this. What is an area of concern or area that you're like, hey, I still think maybe this is a spot where he needs to improve? What would that be, having watched him?
I'd say in the half court offensively, he's still got some room to grow. The Wizards played really fast this past year. They were number one in the league in pace. And when he was coming out of the draft, that was the first thing that stood out to me when I watched his film, was just his speed and his control and his court vision when he was on the move in transition. But, you know, in the half court, you know, they tried to work him in as like a point forward, especially late in the year when they've had injuries to their point guards. They've even had him play point guard a few games. And when things get crowded, he kind of struggles a little bit with turnovers. He's not quite as good as getting to the rim. So when it's in open space, he's great. But if he's on a team, and I don't know where the pace or the Blazers were in pace last year, but, you know, that's, I think, the next step for him, because he put up really good numbers last year, both in terms of volume and efficiency. But I think a lot of it was the product of the way the Wizards played. So, you know, when things slow down, especially, you know, as we all know, if you get to the playoffs, things definitely slow down. Can he have that same impact? Can he have the same impact when he's on a team that has better offensive scoring options around him and he's not, you know, one of the top guys? That's what I think we'll have to watch in the coming years.
Interesting.
We've never been fast. They've always said they want to be fast. We've never been fast.
So maybe this will help get us over the hump. Great stuff, man. Great insight. Chase Hughes. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Chase DC Sports, part of the Wizards broadcasting crew and covering the NBA draft and the Wizards for a long time. Thanks so much for the time out in Portland, man. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.